Bible today, turn over to the book of 1 Thessalonians, if you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to be focusing in on verses 9 through 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. I'm using a new Bible today. It's hard to give up an older Bible because you're so used to it and you know exactly where, what side of the page certain scriptures are on. You've got stuff underlined. But my other one was literally falling apart and it was time to get a new one. So it's bittersweet. When we were at the convention this past week, Lifeway was there and they had these Bibles for quite a bit off. So I took advantage of that and got a new one. And happy Father's Day, by the way, to all our guys. So thankful that you're here today. And we're going to focus on men today and focus on dads and what it means and descriptions of a father. But thank you for praying for us last week at the convention. I don't know what you've heard. Perhaps you've heard some things, and I would just tell you to be guarded in what you've heard, because probably the news that you hear is slanted in one way or another. I will be sharing exactly what we voted upon and different things like that at a later date, give you a report of the convention. But overall, I felt it was really good, very encouraging. We had a lot of good things going on in our convention, and we praise the Lord for what he's doing. The highlight of the week was seeing 83 new missionaries commissioned to go to the nations. Amen. Yeah. So that's always a neat thing to see that, and I hope that there's a day that you can see that for yourself, what that looks like. And as these couples, as these single people come out and share where God is sending them, and we can pray for them. Some are going to places, obviously, that can't be announced, so they're behind a screen. Sometimes they can't even use their voice to tell us where they're going. But we know that they're being obedient, and we praise the Lord for our convention of churches cooperating together to send missionaries, not only here in North America, but across the world to the nations. And we're thankful for that our two missionaries are back home with us, safe and sound. We praise the Lord. Amen. Maybe a little bit weary, maybe a little bit of jet lag going on, but they're back, and we praise the Lord for what they've done, and we'll be having them share at a later date of how God used them while they were there. All right, so 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. I'm going to start by just a little bit of humor, talking about three young fathers who are waiting in a waiting room for the children to be born. And so the first was told that his wife had given birth to twins. And he was amazed and he said, "That's amazing. I play baseball for the Minnesota Twins." Later the nurse came out and told the second man, "Congratulations, you're the father of triplets." And he said, "That's amazing. I work for the 3M company." The next man next to him fainted. And when he woke up, they asked him, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I work for 7-Up. And that can be a challenging thing to have that many kids at once. But kids are a blessing. And, you know, Father's Day can be a difficult day for some. I get that. Just because of circumstances of life and difficulties that we may have had. Fathers being passed away and such. And I get that. You know, that such is the case, you know, for myself. But, you know, as a father and as a grandfather, I recognize the value of this day. And even if I didn't have the best relationship with my own father and him passing away when I was quite young, I can be thankful to the Lord that God used him to bring me into this world, because what a blessing it's been to have my family. And, of course, my father-in-law is here today, and he's my dad. And I praise the Lord for that. And by the way, John's going to be preaching here next week. We're going to be out of town. And I told him he may be preaching to about 5 people, because I know that we're going to be gone. The Scots are going to be gone. I've heard a lot of people are going to be gone next week. So whoever's here, they're going to get a good sermon, and we're going to have a great day of worship. So I hope that you'll come next week and be here for him as he proclaims God's word. Guys, we understand that communication is a very important item in every relationship. And lack of communication and lack of its proper use can be devastating to our families. And we know that words are very powerful. You know, the old adage of sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words can be very hurtful. And we have to be very careful with those types of things. And it's important that we use our words in a productive way, especially in our families, because that's who we're around the most. And my sermon today, as we focus on men, is a reminder to us as men how powerful our words really are. And these words, the message of this sermon can be applied to any of us, men and women alike. But we obviously, today is Father's Day, and we focus upon our men. So that's what I really want to encourage our men with these words. And the text today shares three important words that can help us, especially as men. And now the portion of Scripture that we're going to read this morning, in it, Paul is describing how we must be living examples of the gospel. But within these examples, Paul uses some terms of description for a father. And I believe that we can use these terms to help us as men in interacting with our families and with people in general. So let's read the Scripture together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Go ahead and go to that next slide, if you will, Dennis. There we go. I don't know if the battery is dead on this or not. Let me see here. Oh, there we go. Now we're cooking. Okay, let's read the Scripture together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. For you remember our labor and hardship, brothers and sisters, working night and day, so that we would not burden any of you, we preached God's gospel to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how devoutly, righteously, and blamelessly we conducted ourselves with you believers. As you know, like a father with his children, we encouraged, comforted, and implored each of you to walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and into his glory. So the three words that I really want to focus on here this morning, the first word is the word encouraging. And that's one word that Paul uses in describing, you know, being examples of the gospel, but using the illustration of a dad and to his children. He uses the word encouraging. So what does it mean to encourage? Well, it means to give someone support. It means to give them confidence, right? It means to give them hope. And guys, we live in a very negative culture. We really do. And too much of the news is bad, and we sometimes could all use a big dose of encouragement, right? I mean, just because of all the stuff out there. And in John 16:33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble." I mean, the great thing about Jesus is he didn't sugarcoat things, right? He just kind of told it like it was. He told his followers the truth. But if he just left off there, you might feel pretty discouraged. Hey, we're going to have trouble in this world, thinking that we're going to face all this trouble. But he didn't stop there, because he went on to say in that same verse, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." Right? Amen. I have overcome the world. You see, there's the encouragement. Yeah, we're going to face trouble, but Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." So there's hope for us. And let me ask all of us, but specifically our men today. When I say men, boys, I'm including you too, because you're going to be there one day. Who would you rather be around? Would you rather be around an encourager or a discourager? Men, our families, our children, our families, they need to hear words of encouragement from us. They need to hear the truths of Scripture. They need to hear that we can overcome the world because of Jesus. And so, you know, you might say, well, how will I know if I'm being an encourager? How will I know if I'm being effective in my encouragement to my family? Well, look at the response of the people that you're encouraging, your kids, your grandkids, whoever, your families. Is your son or daughter more courageous? Are they less afraid of the situations that their life is bringing forth, dishing up at school and relationships and other things? Why do you think Jesus gave so much hope to people? Why do you think Jesus was able to give so much courage to people? It was because he was a great encourager. And guys, let me just say, he wasn't just a motivational speaker. We have a lot of people that are motivational speakers that are filled with, you know, a bunch of baloney. He wasn't just a motivational speaker who made people believe in themselves. He pointed others to the truth of God's word. He pointed others to the truth of power. And men, if you want to influence your families, you need to be an encourager. Encourage them to persevere in Christ. Life is difficult, man, I tell you. And it's getting seemingly more and more difficult as the days go on. And if you want to influence your families, you need to be an encourager. Encourage them to persevere in Christ. Listen, your families, your kids, your grandkids, they can do the hard things in life because they're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes all they need is a little bit of encouragement and to be reminded of that and for you to be a model of it so that they can do the hard things in life and the difficult things in life. So encouraging is one word that Paul uses. The next word that he uses is comforting. Comforting. Now let me ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand. This is just an internal thought in your own mind. How many of you, with your kids, maybe with your grandkids, you've ever just snapped? I mean, you just lost it, right? And you didn't want to do that, but it happened. Let me ask you a question. When you lost it, when you snapped, how effective were you? Really? How effective was that? Listen, I have found in my own life, and you probably have found in your life, that having a higher decibel level really doesn't make my point any better. It doesn't. In fact, it makes it worse. And so, listen to me just for a second. Men, especially. Our families need words of encouragement. They need words of comfort to bring the quiet sanctuary of calm as well as a spirit of hopefulness into their life. Sometimes a comforting word can go much farther than a higher decibel word. And if your decibel level needs to be turned down a bit, do it before inflicting your frustration on the kids or the grandkids. You know, when I think about that word comfort, it reminds me of when Jesus saw the crowd in Matthew 9. You guys know the story, right? Jesus saw the crowds. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, the Bible says. He had compassion on them because they were this group of people who were wandering in a way that they didn't have anybody to lead them, to care for them. Jesus wanted the people to be comforted. He cared for them. And so men showing comfort and love to your family, listen, it doesn't make you wimpy. It doesn't mean you're a snowflake or not tough. That part of a relationship is not something that should be just for the ladies. You know, women are a lot more comforting than men. It's the way God made women. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be comforting to our families. It's not just for the women. We need to be comforting as well. We as men need to be willing to give comfort to others in their time of distress. And one thing that, you know, is with our kids and now with our grandkids, we always wanted to instill in our children that no matter how badly they had messed up, that they could still come to mom and dad. No matter how bad they had messed up, they could still come to us. But listen, having that type of relationship doesn't come on a whim. It takes time. You have to consistently love and support your children. Now listen, this doesn't mean you let evil slide. It doesn't mean that there's not consequences for behavior. But that means that when somebody has messed up, they can come to you knowing that through it all, you're going to love them. It just means that you have the type of relationship where your kids know that you love them no matter what. I've shared this before. And you understand this to be in your life. Your children and your grandchildren will never not be your children and grandchildren. You're not going to, no matter what happens in life, no matter how bad or good they are, those kids, those grandkids are always going to be your kids. And so God has given them to you And you need to have the type of relationship where they can come to you in times of difficulty. Where else would you want your kids to go when they get in trouble? Not certainly to the world. They need to come to you who can point them to Scripture, who can love them, lovingly discipline them if they need to be disciplined. You know, we use that verse, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. But we seldom read the last part of the verse. He who loves his child is careful to discipline them. We leave that part off. We are all about the rod, but he who loves his child is careful to discipline them. And so comforting is a description that Paul uses. The third word that he uses is imploring. Now, imploring means to make an earnest request, right? It means that you're urgently making appeal of another person. So what did Paul implore his readers to do? He implored them to live lives worthy of God. And that sounds good, like, wow, that's great, you know, preach it. But what does that mean for us as men? Well, it really, in a sentence, it could be said this way. As a father, you know, as a grandfather, as a man, I'm going to plead with my sons and daughters to join a lifelong journey as a Christ follower. I'm going to implore them to live your life for Christ as long as they live. That is our job. To urgently request, to make this appeal, I want you to follow Jesus. I want you to follow Jesus. You're going through difficulty? Follow Jesus. You've got a difficult decision to make? Follow Jesus. Somebody's tempting you to do something that you shouldn't do? Follow Jesus. Follow His Word. Implore your children to follow Christ. That we will plead with our daughters and sons to join a lifelong journey as a follower of Christ. And guys, here's the thing, and this is something y'all know really well. What our children think about us could be a big factor in what they think about God. What our kids think about us is they put over onto what they think about God and spiritual things. And that says a lot, doesn't it? It means that we have to be a model of who Christ is to our families. And if you've never done that, let me just say, you could start today. It's never too late to start. Never too late to start. Because as men, we understand that our biggest and most important and most rewarding job is to lead our kids to Christ, no matter how old they are. Maybe you have adult children. Maybe you've got adult grandchildren. It's never too late to be a model of Christ to them, to point them to Jesus and to pray for them and to share the gospel with them through your life and through your words so that they can come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's never too late to start. They need to see you being a godly dad, a godly man. As we've often heard, real men love Jesus. Amen? Real men love Jesus. So Paul uses those three words, but there's one thing more that I want to mention this morning. And it goes along with the text here. The overall context of the scripture is being an example of the gospel. As I stated earlier, Paul wrote this portion of scripture as a description of how we're to be an example of the gospel. And being an example of the gospel means that basically we're not going to act like the rest of the world. We're going to be different. We're going to look differently and sound differently and act differently. It means that we're the same at home as we are at church. Boy, that can be a difficult one. It means we should display joy and show grace. It means that we don't have to be critical all the time. You know, it's much easier for us to be critical of others than it is to show grace. It really is. And listen, you can often tell a lot about a person where they are spiritually by the way they treat other people. You really can. And you're definitely not going to be an example of the gospel by acting like that. And some people say, well, listen, this is just how I'm wired. This is just how I am. There's nothing I can do about it. This is just my personality. I can't change, and I'm too set in my ways or whatever. And I would say, listen, Jesus paid too high a price for us to be free from our old nature, for us just to choose to remain to be enslaved to sin and to be who we were. Amen. Jesus has done too much. And we need to be humble. We need to be willing to be at the bottom. You know, Jesus gave up what was rightfully his to come to earth and live a life at this level for the sake of other people. Go back and read Philippians 2. Man, I've stated that verse a million times. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about, but go back and read it. He gave up what was willingly his, rightfully his, to live life at this level for the sake of other people. Let me ask you a question, men. How many times are you willing to give up what is rightfully yours for the sake of the gospel? Let me just say, you don't have to win every argument. You don't have to be right all the time, even though you might be right. For the sake of the greater good, for the sake of the gospel, sometimes we're called to give up what is rightfully ours for the sake of other people. You know, we do a really good job, and I've shared this before, we do a really good job of sharing our personal convictions, don't we? What our convictions are, what our preferences are, what our theological leanings are. I mean, non-essential stuff like predestination versus free will, or political stuff, or worship styles, or roles within the church. And for many people, these things have become what is most important in life. But I'm here to tell you that lives aren't going to be changed by our hang-ups or our personal convictions or our theological preferences. And I see it on Facebook all the time. The other day, I'm getting less and less inclined to look at Facebook just because, especially during this political season, man, I'm so sick of it. And the other day I was listening to the radio, and this, you know that song by Buffalo Springfield, For What It's Worth, you know, stop, listen, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going around. That song, I was listening to this song, and it's like, man, this is totally describing our day, because there's a verse in this song that says, battle lines being drawn, nobody's right when everybody's wrong. Man, that is so true. And I see all this stuff, and people are putting this stuff on Facebook, even Christians, and I'm thinking, what people need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to change people. And we're dying on the hill for personal convictions and politics and preferences instead of rallying around the gospel, which is what matters most. And the gospel is indispensable. All these other things, man, they're not. So men, let's be humble. Let's be willing to give up what is rightfully ours for the sake of the gospel. Even if it means doing something we're not always comfortable with. That's just not my thing. I don't feel led. Baloney. I'm sure Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross. But he went. He prayed in the garden, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. If Jesus can go to the cross, you can do that thing at the church that you don't want to do. You can do that thing at church that you say, that's not my ministry, that's not my thing. Give up what is rightfully yours for the sake of other people. That's how we can be an example of the gospel. Because that's what the gospel is. Jesus giving of himself for other people because he loved them. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. How do I know that? Look at what he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if there's another way, take this cup from me. He knew what was coming. He knew what he was going to endure. That nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. That's what the gospel's all about. So be an example of that. Men, and I say men, I say boys too. All of our guys here today, I want to ask you to do something as we come to a close. And it might be a little strange. It's okay. Bear with me, all right? But I want you to do this. Because men and young men, we all are going to be leaders, or we are leaders today. And we need to be the husbands and fathers that God has called us to be. And so, if we've already been doing that, we need the strength to continue. But if we need to start, we need to start today. And we need the strength in the Holy Spirit to help us. And so, we need strength from the Holy Spirit. So I would like, at this time, all of our men, all of our guys, every male person to stand up right now, and I'm going to pray for you. Okay? I want to pray for you. And this is important. And ladies, you pray for us too, okay? Because we need your prayers. Let me pray for you today, men. Father, I thank you for the men, for the young men, for the boys that you've entrusted us here at Bogey Hills. What a blessing they are. Father, we understand our role that you've given us. And our role is not to be used as a way to lord our power over to others. Father, you've called us to be a servant leader. You've called us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And Lord, we know how you love the church. You gave your life for the church. So Father, help us to remember that as we lead. That we're to be servant leaders. I pray that we would remember that it's a job that you've given us, not to say that we're more important, but so that our families will reflect who you are and point people to you. So I lift up these men who stand before you today, these young men, these boys who stand before you today. I pray that you would guard our hearts. Lord, when temptation comes, I pray that we would turn away or close our eyes or close our ears. We live in a world today that bombards us with all this stuff that can be such a hindrance to us, Lord. And I pray when those times come that your Holy Spirit would just well up within us, that we would have the power to turn away. Lord, help us to be the men, the young men, the boys that we need to be. Help us to be the leaders that you want us to be, Father. Equip us and empower us to be used by you for your glory and honor. Thank you, Father, for our fathers. Even though they may not be here, even though we may not even have known them, thank you that you brought them into our lives. That you've used them to help us be who we are today. We thank you for the men who've taken up the role of father in our lives. Who've been an example to us all these years. What a blessing that is, Lord. That you bring people into our lives to show us what it means to be a follower of Christ. Again, we pray for these men today. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, men, for doing that. And thank you for allowing me to pray for you. You know, as we think about being a man of God and a dad and all the things that we think about on Father's Day, it would be impossible if we don't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Amen. That's where it starts. And maybe today, as a man, you need to take that very first step of putting your faith and trust in Christ. It's going to be hard to be a godly dad without Jesus in your heart. And maybe today is a day that you need to do that. And, you know, Andrew's going to come lead us in a song of commitment in a minute, and maybe you need to do what this says here on the screen. Admit you're a sinner. And then ask forgiveness and turn away from your sins. And then believe in what Jesus has done for us. He died, he was buried, he rose again. That's the simple gospel right there. And then to commit your life to Jesus as Savior and Lord. You can pray just a simple prayer of faith right there where you are as we sing this song. If you want to come talk to me, I'll be right up here. You can come talk to me. We'll pray together. We can meet sometime this week. It's going to be a busy week. It's VBS, but listen, I'll make time for you. And we'll get through whatever you have going on in your life. So reach out. Don't go through this journey alone. You have people here that will love you, me and others who will love you. But maybe if you need to give your heart and life to Jesus, I pray that you would start there. There's another need. You can come talk to me or take care of it right there with you and the Lord. So let's pray, and then we're going to sing and let the Lord do his thing. Father, we just praise you today for what you're doing in the life of our church. I thank you again for this Father's Day where we can celebrate and honor those who have made such a big difference in our lives. But Lord, today we honor you. And we ask you right now, Lord, to have your way in our hearts. We open ourselves up to you. We give you full permission, Lord, to work in our hearts right now. Father, have your way in us. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.